16, chapter 16. We're on chapter 16 of the whole book, and we covered chapter 30 last week. Speaking of 30s, can you believe that we're halfway through our year? Didn't we just get to 24? And whew, man, this is a fast one. But chapter 16, I'll use, I think, just about everything that I use for 16 today as reference points is going to be found in Proverbs as well. I do apologize about our screens. We're going to get that worked out. But I'm just going to make this comment about the Proverbs. We've been on them, in them, all year long. And it's talking about God's wisdom. It's talking about gaining understanding. It's talking about the knowledge of God and applying these things to your life. And as you read them, the challenge, it wasn't really a challenge, it was an invitation from the very beginning. Since there's 31 Proverbs and months have up to 31 days, I challenged you, invited you to read a chapter a day. And if you're trying to read your Bible through, that's a wonderful thing. That averages about 3 chapters a day. So this is a much less condensed reading, or whatever that word is. It's not as much reading. I'm not sold on a lot of reading just to read a lot. I'm sold on whatever I read understanding, getting whatever I am supposed to get out of it, letting it churn over, and then to meditate on it. To meditate on something is actually to, the word meditate means to chew the cud. In other words, animals with chambered stomachs regurgitate what they've eaten. They didn't get it the first time that they ate it. They did not get full nutrition out of it. It went into their stomach, and for us, it, you know, biology, we eat it, and we don't want to regurgitate it. But to meditate means to bring it back up. So what you've been fed with, it is our responsibility to regurgitate it back up and chew on it again. I know that sounds gross, but that's what the word means. I know y'all would rather sit there like this and go, and look all weird about it. But the truth is, meditation and all that was stolen from God anyway. But to meditate on, to bring something back up and to repeat it until we get it, however many times it takes. So a chapter a day is what you've been invited / challenged to go to with me. And it is amazing, in conversation, it comes up with a lot of you. As I talk to you, these Proverbs come up, and it's hard for them not to come up because there's so much there. And then you start realizing there's certain Proverbs that are repeated throughout the book, and that some of those are just such great things because they tie into other scriptures and they're used throughout the Bible, and they're like it draws it all back, and I love that because we don't base our theology on one scripture. We base it on the whole Bible. Very important that it's His word rightly divided. So that means it's not Pastor John's interpretation of it. It's His word, finding out what the meanings of it is, finding out what the context, finding out what the intention of the passage is, and absolutely it is for us. So chapter 16, I usually use the New King James Version, and I'll touch that a little bit, but I like the way, as I read, I usually read it through several different translations and find the one, and for whatever reason, maybe it's just me, this one is in the NIV. Now, before you get mad because I use the NIV, I think I'm going to heaven for using it. This one right here It's not a black cover, so I'm still going to heaven, even though I didn't use the black cover. And this one's got camouflage duct tape on it. So I found some good stuff in it, though. It's a great reference point. So let me read that. To man belong the plans of the heart. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. That is so interesting. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Another translation says, but the Lord weighs the spirits. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Do you remember that scripture just last week? Well, it's in the chapter right before, chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. That one right there should really make you thankful. Do you ever get frustrated what you see on the news, what you see as a report, what you see online, what gets back to you? I know that newspapers and magazines aren't what they once were. We get our media sources many different ways, but however you get the report, it can be very frustrating as a believer because of the culture and because of what the enemy has got going on in the world and the deception of it all and the distraction of it all. I just tell you, as a preacher, as a pastor, I love to see people come to church, not because I get to preach to them, because the word goes forth. It's another opportunity for them to put something of weaponry in their belt. But there's a distraction to it at this building because the way this building does, there's a distraction. Every time that door opens, the sun comes across like this and a beam of light comes. If my eyes are closed and I'm raised, I see that light. And it's, why is it, I'm glad they came, but it's a distraction and it hits you too. Let the door open right now. I don't care what I'm saying. I don't care if I said in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm going to give out. Everybody's going to get $1 million. If I got to 2 and before I got to 1, that door opened, and then I'd finish my sentence to everybody that didn't look gets that $1 million. They'll be like, I got distracted. It's an easy thing. Well, let me tell you this. The enemy's constantly distracting you from this word right here. And who God is in your life. And when we sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the distraction of the enemy will make you start calculating the things that you believe God owes you. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. The motives are weighed. God weighs the spirits. So there's something that can get attached to it. Go back down to verse 5. The Lord detests all the proud. All the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Do you know that you don't avoid evil just by coming to church and leaving here thinking I'm going to put out just a better version of me this week? Not enough. You can't will it enough on your own. You can't decide, hey, this week I'm going to not do that. This week I'm going to avoid it. It takes the active fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? That's actually called the Yireh of God. It's the honor, it's the respect, it's the reverence of God. It's simply this: me realizing that He is watching. I asked you last week, the message last week was how big is your God? Is He big enough for you to understand that He's watching all the time? We are a sneaky people. It's time for the sneak to be over. Because a clear line is drawn in the sand. I used to think when it said a line is being drawn in the sand, I've drawn lines in the sand. You've drawn lines in the sand. And it doesn't take much for you to for that to get blurred or messed up. But now I think that the line in the sand is becoming ever more clear if we're on the Lord's side. And the scripture where it says that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord, have you noticed how many pastors are falling off or being exposed? And it's not just stuff that they're getting exposed that just, oh, gee whiz, this happened this week. It's stuff that's been going on because we are a sneaky people. And God sees it all. He sees our sneaks. And I'm going to tell you what I believe He makes room for. His grace will help you as you're sneaking around to look back at Him and Him saying, no, stop, quit, don't do it, return to Me. But we keep sneaking because nobody down here sees it. See, we're good to sneak down here. I don't care how good we can sneak down here. You'll never escape that one. And that's the one that matters. It's going to be a quiet day. Y'all going to hear my uvula slap whenever I drink that water. You liked that one, didn't you, Peggy? I am not mad, but I'm angry at the enemy. And I'm angry at our response to the enemy. Instead of recognizing He is against us, we're playing patty cake with Him. But hold on, we thought this too. We can play patty cake with the enemy in sneak mode. But on Sunday, we can play patty cake with God. You're fooling yourself. Because all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but the motives, God weighs the spirits. The Lord detests all the proud heart. And He said, be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, verse 2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with Him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Verse 11, honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of His making. So it's talking about this. It's talking about the man. And it's talking about the human condition. I've used that term over and over lately. We have a human condition. We have a propensity to do certain things. And God weighs it all. And I want you to get this picture of the scales of God. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. Now, these were days when people had dishonest scales and dishonest weights, and they charged in the marketplace according to scales. But they would put maybe some grain up against the scale, but because they used dishonest weights, they could charge you more than what you were supposed to be paying. And it said that the Lord hated that. So people understood this Proverbs. Oh, that thing that's going on that's dishonest, I knew they're cheating me, but I can't prove it. But God sees it. So everybody in this room understands what a dishonest scale is. Let me put it to you like this. The justice system. We've only just got one justice system in this country, right? I mean, it's proven every day. You see, it's just one justice system, right? Doesn't matter. I got to back. That's what I'm looking for. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how much money you make. The justice system is the same for everyone, right? Well, we got just one justice system, right? It doesn't matter who your family name is, because we just got one justice system, right? And we got laws on the book that say, if you do this, then this is the penalty for it. And it goes for everybody. And it does not even matter what color your skin is, does it, Deanya? Because she's a black lady, if anybody missed that. White man asking a black lady something. Let me ask your Korean husband. Because it doesn't matter what our skin is it, John? Because we just got one justice system, right? Right? I remember when I was a teenager, probably can't tell that one. Maybe I heard about somebody that was a teenager. They lived in a town where some people had a lot of sway. But they saw that their neighbor's son got caught one time with enough cocaine to distribute. One time, 28 years. But some people can just sell and use and doing. Nothing ever happens. Because we got a justice system that doesn't look at anything except what is right and what is wrong. And it's infuriating because we know that that's not the case. Or am I wrong? Or did I miss something? So we look around the world and we see things happening and it makes us mad. And we look at our government system and say, well, why? Now, if I did that, now come on now. If I did that, but you can do that. Not only does nothing happen, but nothing happens. Just one justice system, right? So we look at things in our world and we ask God, well, what's up with this? What's going on with this? But we got to understand who he is and what he says and what he means. And what it says right here, 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And he's keeping a record of it. And look what it says. Honest scales and balances are from God. All the weights in the bag are of his making. So no weight's been shaved off. No weight says 5 ounces and it's really 3 ounces. What you're going to get is the fair, not just fair, but precise, accurate measurement when God puts the weight on the scale. Are you ready to go on the scale yet? He backs it up in chapter 11 and verse 1. It says it. I told you these proverbs can be repetitive, but it's so that we get it. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Chapter 20. think it's verse 23. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. So I can tell you this. His eyes are everywhere. He's keeping watch over evil and good. You don't have to worry about it because God sees it. But what we better worry about is being sneaky in our own right, because he still sees us too. And we're all going to be measured against his accurate scales, accurate weights that he loves. Verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what a haughty spirit says? I can do it. Yeah, it got me last time, but I can do it. I got it this time. I got it. Pride is easy to step in when we're wanting to make a point, when we're wanting to prove something. You take a child, you take a child and let them grow a little bit older, let them become a teenager, and then let them get surrounded by their friends and let something happen, and they will jump up quickly and say, I got it, I can do it. Don't help me. I got this. And then they didn't really. Their pride didn't match up with their skill level, and they crash again. You finally get mad and stomp and go off and maybe cuss, and we'll try this another day. This isn't based on our words. This isn't based on how good we think that we're going to perform for the Lord. This is based on understanding, I'm going to fail without you. And me walking this thing out or attempting to without you is doomed to fail. If we could just get over ourselves enough to say, I'm not good enough to do this by myself. My track record proved it. But here I go by me again, and oh, I failed again. You won't fail with him. You will fail without him. It's that simple. You will fail without him. And he told us that in his Proverbs in 4 that we went over in the first month or two of the year. Proverbs 4, 14, and 15. You should mark these two down right here. I'm telling you, they're incredible to go by because they are warnings against who I am. Against the spirit. I'm a human being. And it doesn't matter how spiritual I think I am on Sunday or how polished or whichever Bible I bring, it does not stop me from being human when nobody else is around. And I've got to make these choices for myself. You know what happens when God measures the spirits? And he's talking about the heart and the heart and the heart and the heart. And he looks at our heart, but it says he weighs the spirit. So our heart goes on the scale, but what's in our spirit is what gets measured. Listen to this warning. Do not enter the path of the wicked. That should be enough. But he adds to it. And do not walk in the way of the evil. And then he says it like this. Avoid it. That should be enough, right? Comes back with another warning right behind it. Do not travel on it. Should be enough, right? Turn away from it. Oh yeah, one more warning. And pass on. Because if it's there, we'll look back at it, and it'll draw us right back. You remember Lot's wife? Remember she looked back? We don't do good staring at sin. I'm just going to tell you. We don't do good staring at our past sins. Pride goes before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Verse 2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I'll take the extra 15 seconds. Verse 2, all a man's ways, all of them seem innocent to him. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. He was come that we would have life. And not just life, abundant life. Right? We talked about this week, didn't we, Alan? We had a good little conversation on that one. He's got not just life, he's got an abundant life for me. But my ways that seem innocent to me can lead me right to death. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Job 28:28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. It can't get any more clear than that. I know. Don't anybody stand up quick. You will pass out. These Proverbs, I know it's summertime. I know it's summertime. I just got through enjoying my vacation so much. When I got home, all I wanted to do was find a place to curl up and rest. That's a good vacation. That's a good vacation. But all the other time, I want to challenge you to be here as we talk about these Proverbs, because they will help you. And if you learn to allow the Word of God to speak to you, and learn that if it only speaks to you on Sunday when Pastor John is holding a mic, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that's enough. You may need to find a different church with a pastor that can feed you better in a 30 to 45 minute sermon that can carry you through 7 days of a fast of no word. I'm not good enough to do that. But I can tell you this. I will give you His word. And during the week, if you'll take His word and feast on that, you'll grow from it. But here's what I liken the Proverbs to. I liken the Proverbs to a can of bug spray on a hot summer evening. And you're getting bit. But you don't want to go inside, because even though it's just now breaking down into the evening and it's finally down, it's broken the 80 degree mark, because we live in the South, we've got a little bonfire going. And we don't want to go inside yet. So the fire's not working enough because the mosquitoes are so bad that we take the bug spray and we spray ourselves down. And all of a sudden we realize, oh yeah, this bug spray feels like bug spray. And it makes me uncomfortable. And it makes me feel sticky. And it actually makes me feel a little bit warm. And I reckon the Proverbs to feeling like bug spray. They don't give me the warm, cozy feelings all the time, but they will keep the enemy away from me. I'm going to put on the bug spray. Other people will pass it. I'm going to put on the bug spray, because that's a choice that you got to make. But if you don't make it, enjoy the bugs. Enjoy the bites. And there will be something to pay for not taking the warnings of God. You can't just think the wisdom sounds good. I'll take that. I'm telling you, being a Christian is putting something on. It's putting on armor. It's not putting on a backpack. It's not saying, God, I'll take that. Yeah, put it right here. You pull it back. I know it's full of all that other stuff I don't use, but it sounded good, and I put it in there too. It's not that. It's not that. It's a warning. It's a warning. I promise you, I had every intention today. I know Proverbs are tough. I've been up here preaching them for a year. I had every intention of preaching something else today. Could not do it. Because a warning has a reason attached to it. If there's nothing that we could fall into, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But if it's something that we could fall into, we better worry about it. And I'm telling you, because I know, and I know some of them, ministers are falling. Some of them I know personally. My heart's broken for them. I'm praying for restoration for them. But it's kind of like what I've seen in the past. I've seen people that I visited in prison right after they were accused. And I came back and I told my wife, I said, I'm not sure that they're sorry. But I am sure that they're caught. That's not a cold. I went as someone that I loved and had done ministry with. And I knew the talents and the gifts and the things of God that had been given them. But the time for sorry is here. And the time for repentance is now. But I promise you this, if I've taught it any other way, I apologize. But repentance doesn't happen here. Sorry happens here. Repentance happens when we leave here. Because a difference has to be manifested in our life. It can be called for here, but it has to be accomplished out there. And can't nobody walk that one out with you? And can't nobody hold your hand and guide you through that one? Not of the human type, but only of the spirit type. And if your hand is just in my hand, I offer you nothing but good luck, friend. But if your hand is in his hand, you will make it. You will make it. Not because of you, but because of who he is. And you're holding on to him. Don't you know when the woman touched the hem of his garment, he knows when he's touched. He knows when someone is attached to him. He knows that. And that can only work out for your benefit. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. The distractions of this world are calling on us. They are vying for our attention. They must have it. They dance in front of us to pull our attention away from you. They dance in front of us to get our eyes off of you. They turn themselves up louder so that we don't hear the whisper of your voice. It is a perilous time that we are living in. Lord, I believe that you directed me to stay on point, to stay on topic, because we couldn't stop and have a little party today in your name when so much is at stake. These are your people. But they have their own choices because you gave them that. But the choice we can choose. But the consequence we cannot. Please help us choose wisely, Lord. Help us, help me to take you at your word and realize that you are always watching us and you see the good and the evil. And though we see all kinds of injustices in the world, we don't need to be swayed by that. We need to keep our eyes on you because your scales are honest and accurate, and your weights are just and perfect, and you will judge accordingly. So we thank you for your mercy that you're offering and your grace that is extended to us right now. Help us to take full advantage of it, Lord, because there are many paths that lead many places, but only one path leads to you. And as we have found it, help us not to stray from it. In Jesus' name, I pray.